thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Stand up. I know you can block a lot of it.
Yeah. Brian Mormon is going to fake it. On the run.
I'm Sean Taylor, University of Miami. The hardest hitter in the draft.
By Sean Taylor. Oh my, what a display.
With the fifth pick in the 2004 NFL draft, the Washington Redskins select Sean Taylor, safety, University of Miami.
You drew it up to be a good play, and he made it a great play. He made it a turnover. He made it something mere mortals can't do.
Play fake, went under pressure.
Oh.
Caught from behind by Sean Taylor.
Man, did he come fast. Wow.
And that's what they expect out of him. His first NFL sack. Here's another blitz. Quinn steps up and it's intercepted. Sean Taylor with his first NFL interception. Taylor still running. Finally tackled by Steve Edwards. No flags on the play, and that'll be enough to end the Bears' hopes.
Taylor did a great job of getting underneath in that underneath part of the zone.
Palmer in the pocket. Rush is coming. Palmer throws a deep ball down the sideline into double coverage and picked off. Intercepted by the rookie Sean Taylor on the first play from scrimmage. Chad Johnson, the intended receiver.
Not much.
A third and five. It is picked off by Sean Taylor, the rookie out of Miami. And for Taylor, it's his third interception of the season for the Eagles, their second turnover today.
The guy is a playmaker.
Redskins territory, here comes the blitz. They run into it. Tiki Barber fights his way down to the 41-yard line. The ball comes loose. The scramble on.
He's going down here. He takes his shoulder right on the ball by Taylor.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Wally, Will T, we're your host. Ray Jeezy's out. Y'all heard it here, man. Sean Taylor, man. That was Sean Taylor highlights. Today is the day, the official day, November 27th. 11 years ago, Sean Taylor passed away. Will T, you know, you're not a Skins fan, but still, though, you respected the man, Sean Taylor. What were your thoughts about him or something memorable about Sean Taylor?
Honest with you, I remember exactly when, you know, I heard the news that he passed. It caught me off guard. But, you know, back to your original question, a guy whose life was taken too soon, who didn't have the opportunity to fulfill the immense potential that he had.
Right, yeah.
Whose spirit and whose play is still inspirational and motivational to a lot of the safeties that came after him.
Even Ha Ha Clinton Dix said that he was a big Sean Taylor fan. It's amazing. Like, you know, Sean Taylor wasn't that old, and, you know, wasn't, again, he was taken away at a super young age, but to a point where he's had an impact on future safeties.
Absolutely.
You know.
His personality and his play, his persona on the field, impacted a lot of people that came after him. So rest in peace, Sean Taylor.
Yeah, rest in peace, Shante. Do you think he could play in today's NFL?
Absolutely, he would be able to play in today's NFL.
Even with the whole, you know, targeting and whatnot.
That may be a problem, but I think he would have had enough discipline to tone it down and, you know, tackle properly.
Yeah, I agree. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame. Excuse me for those of you that heard that.
Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins losing to the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, 31-23, and Skins claiming inside linebacker Reuben Foster. At 8:20, we'll preview the Skins' next opponent in the Philadelphia Eagles. At 8:30, we'll discuss possible trade partners for Washington Wizards forward Otto Porter. At 8:40, we'll make our week 13th picks. Will T has texted a lot about that over the last week, about him catching up and gaining ground. I will say this at fantasy football. the cream rise to the top. Finally, at 8:50, we'll preview the heavyweight boxing matchup between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. But first, Skins fell to the Cowboys 31-23. What were your thoughts of the game?
My thoughts was it was all good just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
You want to play that clip? I don't have that song. I wish I did have that song.
I mean,
on.
I'm
still the same.
You vehemently argued with Ray and myself about this team being 6-3,
yeah,
being a team on the cusp of making the playoffs,
yeah,
being one of the better teams in the NFC.
Nothing's changed.
And you still feel that way after these two losses?
You lost your quarterback, one. So I guess if you're going to use a disclaimer to it, say you lost your starting quarterback to a gruesome injury. But that's either.
That's a gruesome injury, yeah. An argument can be made that you're not getting much of a downgrade from Alex Smith to Colt
McCoy. Oh, yes, you are. You got three turnovers quick, and she could have been five. That wasn't great quarterback play at all. But on the flip side, you still have an opportunity. You have the Eagles next who aren't playing their best ball. We'll talk about them later. Your defense is still, you still got playmakers still able to turn the ball over. They've shown they can still do that. So they still have an opportunity. This NFC East isn't tough. Isn't difficult. The Giants, who thought they had a nice little win streak, lost to the Eagles. So Giants are down. You got the Cowboys. The Eagles aren't playing the best football. And the Cowboys are playing the Saints on Thursday night. So it's still there. I'm not looking at this season like it's over. Not at all.
You shouldn't, but I think you're far less optimistic than you were.
No, not at all. Actually, I'm still confident.
Okay.
I'm still confident. I think that this Eagles game, I will say, well, again, we're going to talk about it later, but this Cowboy game was disheartening. If you look at what happened in the game, it wasn't anything that the Cowboys did special. Great, you mentioned it in the text that, tackling was poor, was piss poor. If anything, if you look at the two touchdowns they scored to Amari Cooper, those are terrible. That was just a terrible display of tackling that led to big plays. Then you look at Dak Prescott, that should have been tackled, running for that touchdown. That's just it was poor tackling. I don't look at it something as like the Saints game. Like the Saints game was pretty much manhandled. Like you were manhandled. That's a game. If I looked at anything, if that Saints game happened now, then I would agree with you. Then I would be like, yeah, like this, they ain't making it.
You still drinking the Kool-Aid?
Nah, I'm just
have those rose-tinted glasses.
No, it's all about the eye test. I think at times people look at like, are they where they were in the beginning of the season? No, because injuries play a part. But are they out of it? Look at the remainder of the schedule. If you told me that, like anybody,
okay,
you got the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Tennessee Titans, the Philadelphia Eagles, twice, who are they're not playing great ball, and then you got the Giants.
You said the eye test, right?
Yeah.
Looking at how this quarterback played, Colt McCoy, the inability of you to sustain a drive with your off, through the air,
mm-hmm,
and on the ground.
Yeah.
Having some problems at cornerback, you have problems along the offensive
cornerback
line.
Which cornerback are you referring to? You're talking about cornerback position?
Cornerback
as a whole?
Position.
Yeah, because Dunbar's still hurt, basically.
Yes.
All right,
okay.
Go ahead.
The injuries along the offensive line.
Yes.
And you still think this team is prime?
Yeah, because one, the cornerback play. Yeah, the cornerback play isn't a problem to me. I think you have other teams that have worse cornerback play. Look at the Eagles have a terrible cornerback situation. They do. The whole secondary is jacked up.
Yeah, their whole
secondary. So it's like you have other situations that are far worse than the Skins.
But
the defense isn't even, the Eagles not even a top 10. They're not a top 10.
No, I'm saying they still have a redeeming qualities as a football team in general.
What's that?
Their offense.
But then, like, they're not even playing. Their offense isn't high octane. Their running game and when a die went down hasn't been the same. If we're gonna be comparing the Skins to teams in the NFC East, right? The Cowboys quarterback play is still to be determined, right?
Uh-huh.
Just because what they did to the Skins doesn't mean. And again, that was more piss poor tackling. You're looking at the Eagles. Again, defensively, that secondary is all beat up.
But they can score the football.
Their run defense averages about, again, we're going to talk about this the next segment, but their run defense isn't the best, all right? So as a whole, they have weaknesses. The Skins aren't far from any of those teams. So for me to say, like, how I should feel, the Skins are right there. So to Ray's point, when Ray said, what? The NFC East is some crap. This is what Ray is right. I can say that now. It is. If you look at what it is, if they were in, say, the Saints division, or like the Saints are in it, the Rams division, or even the Bears, like even the North with the Bears, we would have a different discussion. We could have a different discussion. But you can't tell me that the East is that strong to a point the skin shouldn't I'm feel like they don't have an opportunity.
I'm not saying the East is that strong. I'm saying if I look at this team objectively,
yeah,
this team cannot score more than 17 points.
If you're looking at this team objectively, let's be free. Like, let's be real. No.
Can you allow me to finish? This team cannot score more than 17 points at its best.
Okay.
This team offensively cannot sustain a drive.
Okay.
This team is dependent upon a 34-year-old running back.
Yes. An all-time great running back, if you want to add that too, though.
We can add that. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, on the plus that this team has, the defense has been solid.
Yeah.
Cornerback play has been shoddy.
It's been okay.
It's been shoddy.
Cowboys cornerback play hasn't been any good either.
I'm not saying it hasn't.
We're just talking about this team. No, we're comparing it. But you got to do it with the outliner, because it's about where the team can go. They're going against these teams. Like, that's the point. I'm not comparing them to a team outside of their outside of division. We're comparing this team because it's about winning the NFC East, right? It's not about, like, this is what it's about.
Yeah, it's about winning.
So you're
NFC
comparing
East
this, like, would you take this so-called shoddy secondary over the Eagles secondary? Yes. Statistically, yes. I'm just being for statistically, yes.
I wouldn't, because this is this is me being totally objective, right? I've seen that Eagles secondary turn it on and play extremely well.
But so to your point then, we've seen that with this skin secondary.
When
DJ Swerve had 3 picks in a game. We saw it against the Cardinals.
I'm not talking about a game or two.
We haven't seen
I'm not talking about a game or two.
Yeah.
We've seen that Eagles secondary last year play very strong and be one of the strong suits of that team.
What did you just say? Is that fair?
I look at the individual talent
uh-huh.
in that Eagles secondary.
So name that individual talent.
To me, it's better than what Washington
Okay,
has.
Again, you're playing with nothing but rookies right now. Basically, first year, second year dudes in your secondary. Darby's out for the season. That was your best corner. Okay. Watkins isn't good. Watkins isn't good. Your only good player in your secondary, I'm talking about a starter, is Malcolm Jenkins. Only one.
McLeod.
If we're being objective,
yes,
DJ Swerges is all pro right now, playing at all pro level. We'll probably make the Pro Bowl.
He's playing at a Pro Bowl.
You would take Norman Quinn Dunbar, was rated higher than any cornerback within your guys when healthy. This is the truth.
When healthy.
But I'm saying, no, to when your point. Your secondary is not even healthy. So this is my healthy. Point. This is my point is we're comparing it to that secondary is not good. That's not a good secondary.
Then we take it to the flip side.
Okay, flip side.
That offense.
So if you're gonna go offense,
I'm not gonna argue that. To me, that's the redeeming.
But you can't
quality.
Say the secondary. You can't say
no,
that.
But listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying.
Uh huh.
I would take, if you're asking me.
Okay.
The coaching, and the talent, and that secondary.
What?
That's shown that they can play over a high level over a sustained period.
Mm-hmm.
Then a secondary that's had its moments and looked very good in moments.
What's secondary?
But those moments that have been very isolated moments. That's what I'm referring to as Washington's secondary.
Okay. I would take the skin secondary has been more consistent compared to the Eagles secondary.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not even being like a true blinded diehard Skins fan. You talking about the offense? I'm gonna take that quarterback. I'm gonna take Alshon Jeffries, and I'm good to go. Cause I've always those two. I'm good to go. I'm not worried about Nelson Aguilar, whatever. I'm good to go. I know what
And then I'm taking that tight end.
Oh, Zach Ertz. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm taking Zach Ertz too. But other than that, like to be honest with you, offensively, I'll go with that. And the coach. Because the coach is the offensive mind. Like Peterson's a great offensive mind. I'm cool with that. Like, I'm honest with that. But on that defense side of the ball, other than if you want to talk about that with Fletcher Cox, we can, like, I'll be like, yeah, that's a dog right there. We could talk about, but I'm not talking about that secondary. Like, that secondary gets ate up. Like, that's the downfall of, to be told, be real, that's the downfall of that team on that defense. That front seven works it. And that front seven ain't balling, that secondary ain't balling.
I have far more confidence in the defensive coaches being able to.
I like Swartz, though.
I have more confidence in Jim Swartz being able to apply pressure with the front seven.
Yeah.
And get to the quarterback quick to cut down on the time that his corners and safeties have to be in coverage than I do with Washington.
That's your opinion. That's fair. Yeah. And that's fair.
On the flip side, yeah. When I look at that offense compared to this offense, it's a vastly there's a great fall off from the Eagles.
We'll have more Eagles discussions after break. We're going to talk about this Reuben Foster thing. The Niners released Reuben Foster due to another domestic charge. The Redskins have claimed Reuben Foster.
As of now,
he is a Washington Redskin, and he's also on the commissioner's exempt list, so he probably won't play this season, which I'm cool with anyway. Do you like the move by the Skins?
Hell no.
All right, good. Tell me why. No dead silence, though.
No, not dead silence. I ate prior to coming over here. Reuben Foster, although a young man, a very talented young man, mm-hmm. Has had multiple bouts or multiple allegations of domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. Then you take into consideration him being suspended for the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
And I ask myself, why would you add that to this locker room?
Yeah.
Why would, if this team that's already lost their quarterback, already has an all-time great running back who last week it came out in the media that, rather unfairly, it came out in the media that he still beats his child.
Are we going to really do this?
This is another layer.
I'm looking at it
objectively.
Okay.
Because right?
I have an issue with white media. But go ahead.
All I can do is look at things objectively.
All right.
Lost your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Peterson thing.
Yeah.
This week, now the guy who you playing was playing all world, all pro corner safety came out in the press and berated his teammates' practice habits. DJ Swearnger.
That's a consistent thing.
Why would you add that? On top of those things, you're trying to contend for an NFC East title and a playoff spot. Why would you add that into everything else you have going on? And you take into account there's a optics, whether fairly or unfairly, optics and the perception that this is a club that doesn't do things right.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So you add all these things. Why the hell would you add him into the mix of your locker room? Despite, even though he's vastly talented and you thought very highly of him in the past.
Well, I mean, he's got the Alabama boys. So they're there. No, this is what. Look,
what the hell does that mean,
bro? Like, can I finish?
Okay, I apologize.
I know I'd be cutting you off. But he has the Alabama boys, so he has friends who can have his back and pretty much can counsel to him. That's what I've heard, and that they've heard that's something that the Redskins have decided to lean on. Secondly, you know, I'm always been in favor of giving any young individual an opportunity. I don't get into the whole, is he going to damage the locker room? Let's keep it a buck. If you're talented, you ain't damaging the locker room unless you suck. I'm just going to be honest with you. Unless you suck, that's when you damage the locker room. Right? Draymond Green is an a-hole. But you know what happens, though? He's an inspirational leader to the team, and they ball with him. And because he does something very talented for that team. Plays defense and shares the basketball.
Well, I don't think that's a truly apple to apples
comparison. Draymond Green almost fought his coach, right?
Yes, but there's a difference between a man who's fought his coach and a man who's been accused of domestic violence.
This is in the locker room.
Times.
We're talking about in the locker room. You said it in the locker room, right?
Okay.
So I'm saying in the locker room.
But this
right?
is something you have to. This, but this is the.
But
thing.
You have. You know what I'm saying.
No, I'm gonna let you finish.
Yeah,
let you
but
finish.
I'm saying in finish. The locker room. I'm just saying like you have acts of effed up things in the locker room, right? Okay. Right. For this situation, one, he's not gonna play this season. I don't care what anybody thinks. He's not going to play this season. I don't think he's going to play this season. And that's the reason. That's what I looked at when the Skins decided to put a claim out there and sign him.
Let me ask you this question. If he's not going to play this season, why the hell do you claim
him? You still got him on a rookie deal. He's on cheap on a rookie deal because you have the anticipation that he'll play next season. You can put him in the offseason. He can learn the system. He can read the playbook. Because right now, let's be like, what's going on with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix? No, just be what's going on with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Let me rebut. Mm-hmm. Here's my rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
No one was going to claim
you
him.
Don't know that. That's what I'm saying. You don't know that as an organization. How does it hurt you by claiming him for next season? What hurts you? Like, what really hurts you? Because you're gonna have him.
I don't know. There's already there's a perception that you as a club are F ups.
Look,
for two. Uh-huh. It's domestic violence.
We don't know what happened. Like what
we don't. We absolutely.
Look, I'm gonna tell you.
We don't know what happened. We do not know what.
Yeah, happened. We don't know what happened. But the same thing with the Dwight Howard. People are going on Dwight.
I'm not going.
You know what? I'm just. This is what I'm saying though. This is my point. People say what. And I don't know if it happened. Whatever. People make claims and accusations all the time. True or false, whatever happens, right?
Very true.
And we're in a society now, as soon as somebody says something, we take it as the gospel.
Very true.
Am I correct?
Very true.
So all I'm saying is that let it play out.
Let's play out. That's fair. But my man, I wouldn't pick him up just because he's not smart. And here's why. No, seriously,
go ahead.
This is the third time he's been accused of domestic violence by the same woman.
Yeah.
Why are you still in the same relationship? If it's true that she, in the past, that she's tried to bring you down, yeah, and falsely accused you of domestic violence, even though when police conducted their report was consistent with what her injuries were consistent with what she reported, what she stated in her report the first time before she retracted her report. Yeah. Why would you stay around someone who has tried to burn you for three times, falsely accusing you of domestic violence?
One.
I wouldn't pick you up just because you're not smart. Even if, like, everything aside.
Yeah.
Even if it's not true, I wouldn't pick you up because you're not smart.
No, I get that. That makes sense. I won't even argue that. Because we said, I believe you, because I don't get that.
That's poor judgment. And that's something else that could potentially, that's another potential distraction that I would have to deal with.
You know, I would have a, I mean, before we about to go to break, so, but, you know, she could have the wet, you know what I mean?
She could
have the wet, bro.
Many dudes have fell prey to the wet. For me, I sit back, I examine the situation, I look at it from perspective, like if I'm in his shoes.
Yeah, of course.
Someone's trying to bring me down for millions of dollars. This is the third time. Why am I going to stick?
No, I'm with you. Real talk. Like, that's why when I found out it was the same chick, I was like, dude, you still with the same chick? Like, you messing up on millions upon millions of dollars. And again, just be real. Like, you're such a talented brother. Like, the only way you can be brought down is by yourself.
Yeah, I don't understand. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I know we're going over time here, but I have to ask.
Go ask away.
Can you? I know you as a person.
Yeah.
Right. I know you very well as a person.
Yeah.
If it's true.
Yeah.
And he's still on this roster, could you honestly support this team going forward?
If it's true, and he's not trying to get help. He's not honestly, like, you know what I mean? Because this is my thing.
I'm real.
No, I'm real. I'm real. I'm totally real. So I say things like this, and this is the honest to God truth. I'm willing to give anybody, any man, another chance if it doesn't impact me. This is the truth. Okay. Like you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he did it to my sister. You ain't getting another chance. You get what I'm saying? For somebody else from a distance, I'm real. Like, from a distance, I'm honest enough in myself to say this. Like, I'm willing to give anybody a second chance. But if it impacts me, then I'm like, yo, nah.
All right, but it's like the same thing. You're a man of values and principles.
Yeah, I am.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're also, I know that you do not believe in hitting women.
I do not.
That's why I'm asking you. Can you put your values and virtues aside to support this team if he's on this team, knowing how you feel about?
If I feel like he's not trying to change himself, no. Okay. I'm real. If he's not trying to change himself, no. Like, if I see him still having that, you know, if it's all three times, again, I don't, like, if she came out and said she did, like, she came out and said it was fake, whatever, even that's true or false, I don't know. Like, I don't know the situation. But if I know, like, if he's guilty, I'm like, let's be real. If he's guilty, he's not playing on the squad anywhere.
But then you still have that black eye on your organization as being an organization that picked up a man
that Dallas Cowboys whether, picked up a dude that the Cowboys picked up. What's his face?
Who?
He played for Carolina.
Greg Hardy.
And he was as bad as it gets, bro. And nobody's and no one's still talking about that anymore.
That's very true. You know what I mean? And I mean, played. people still talk about that.
Bro, and he played a lot.
People still do talk about that. They bring it up on the
every kitchen. Once, but not like as thorough as they. You know what I mean? As thorough as you would think, right? And he played a lot, and he did some. He did some stuff for real. All
right,
man. Skins have the Eagles Monday night. We'll preview the game after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Waiting the punt from Nick Harris. It's a beautiful booming spiral. James going to take it at his own 13. Has a little bit of running room to the right to the 20, 25, 30. Off to the races, 40, 45, 50.
A terrific block. I think it was by Sean Taylor. Man, he just decked one of the lines, and the guy's out. Well, you got a real injury here because, I mean, I think Sean Taylor just nailed the guy. If it wasn't Sean Taylor, I didn't get the number. But it looked like a Sean Taylor hit.
Hockley's getting ready to give us some.
Wow, what a hit. Frampton is down. The ball down inside the 10-yard line on the big return by James Thrash.
It's about to at the two, I think.
One was recovered by the
other. You're listening to the Urban Sports Day with Will T and myself, Wiley Ray's out. Monday night, the Skins take on NFC East rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles. What is the main thing that should concern the Skins about the Eagles?
There's a couple things. This team has a championship pedigree.
Don't say that secondary either.
No, I mean, this team, you know, has the heart of a champion, a championship pedigree. They're coming off a Super Bowl. So yeah. Towards the end of the season, you know, they see that they're not in it or in a position that they want to be in. So naturally, there's a potential for them to fight a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Coming out Monday night
yeah.
in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
right at home.
Yeah,
that's one. Two, the wide receiver versus cornerback matchup. You know, Alshon Jeffery will probably shadow. I mean, Josh Norman Roman will probably shadow Alshon Jeffery. Mm-hmm. But then on the other side, you have Golden Tate. Doug Peterson's pretty good at getting guys the ball in open space. Mm-hmm. And Golden Tate, we all know he's similar. He was similar to Anquan Boldin when he had the ball in his hands as mm-hmm. a wide receiver. He turns into a running back with
physical.
The ball in his hand. Very physical in an open space. So there's that. Then there's the matchup with Zach Ertz, you know, versus your linebacker.
I think that's the most important thing, I think.
Yeah, Zach Ertz is having a hell of a season.
He's not even, he's just a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. And then also Josh Adams, the guy who's turned it up. You know,
oh, the running back for Notre Dame.
Yeah, the rookie undrafted running back. He's a guy who, when he's given an opportunity, he has averaged at least 4 yards a carry. So, you know, does he start to get, you know, does Doug Peterson pick up the volume and give him the ball a little mm-hmm. bit more to take some pressure off of Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
Then injuries along the offensive line, Washington's offensive line. You know,
that pass rush.
Yeah, Tim Jernigan, you have
Graham.
Brandon Graham, you have Chris Long, you have
Fletcher Cox. Yeah.
So, you know. But then on the flip side for Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
That defensive line.
Yeah.
I guess what is the Alabama Wall?
You got Tim Settles. You got Tim Settles from Virginia Tech who looked good against the Cowboys. I mean, you got players.
Yeah, then, you know, Preston Smith.
Starting the ball.
What is it with Preston Smith? It always seems like the last third of the season.
He balls out. I don't know.
It's like the switch flips late.
You would think, though, he would have that whole mindset in the beginning of the season for this season because of the contract year. But obviously, you would think so.
But he's come up big over the last couple.
Yeah, sure has. He sure has.
So, you know, it'll be an interesting matchup. I plan on going out to watch the game. You will probably
hunker down. Yeah, we watch it home. You know how I am. My main thing, I mean, you mentioned all great points. My main thing is tackling Carson Wentz and trying, you know, we saw what Dak Prescott did. And to me, Carson Wentz is way more elusive than Dak Prescott. And he's a guy who's more accurate. He can throw the ball on the run. He can throw the ball from the pocket. He can make big plays if you do miss him. You know what I mean? So and we saw this last season, even in the season opener against the Washington Redskins, where he eluded multiple defenders. I believe he threw a bomb to Nelson Aguilar for a touchdown. So he's a guy that I feel like definitely deserves number one priority for the Skins, period. Second would have to be Zach Ertz. Obviously, Zach Ertz is a monster. He's a guy that hopefully Mason Foster isn't guarding or checking. Because if Mason Foster is lined up against Zach Ertz, that's a problem. That's a serious, serious problem. I had an argument with somebody on Twitter, and he was like, "Well, Zach Ertz."
You argue with people on Twitter
all the time, man. This dude's pretty cool. This one's, you know, I like arguing with people who, you know, have sense. So he stated to me that, you know, Zach Ertz would do that to anybody. He would do that to Josh Norman. I was like, no, he wouldn't do it to Josh Norman. It's a degree of being burnt. Like Mason Foster checking Zach Ertz is different from Josh Norman checking Zach Ertz.
Yeah,
you agree with me?
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I
like
think, Zach Ertz would body up
exactly.
Josh Norman, but Zach Ertz
would be in
just
space
in
against
space versus Mason
Foster.
Mason Foster.
So basically, Zach Ertz would still be running.
Yeah,
you get my point. He would still be running. So
Carson Wentz would be throwing into wide open windows.
Exactly. It's a difference, regardless of what you think. It's a difference. And all the flip side. Even with all the talk about Reuben Foster, don't you think it's a bad sign for a Mason Foster?
I mean,
if you think about it,
potentially, but there are you have two middle linebackers.
Yeah, that's so, Zach Brown, who you just re-signed with a decent deal.
Okay.
So
Mason Foster. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you
wouldn't know. That? But still, though, I think that's an issue. In terms of the Eagles, those are guys that I would be concerned with. I think Will mentioned pretty much everybody else in terms of that front seven. Everyone knows the Eagles front seven is dangerous, even with Michael Bennett, too, who is a guy who's begging for more playing time.
I didn't even mention Michael Bennett.
Exactly. So, I mean, the Eagles have a pass rush. But for the Skins to do well against the Eagles, to negate that pass rush, you got to feature Adrian Peterson. Well, feature the running game. I'm not going to just say Adrian Peterson. Feature the running game. Chris Thompson may be healthy. Looks like he's getting to that point where he's getting healthy. He may play Monday night. If you can run the ball against this Eagle defense that allows 4.9 yards a carry, you have an opportunity to stay in the game and win the game. If you do what Jay Gruden did against the Cowboys, try to feature Colt McCoy, then you have a problem. Stick to the game plan, run the football, feature your running game, and have Colt make some plays here and there, but don't put the whole game plan on Colt McCoy to be Aaron Rodgers, to be Drew Brees, to be Tom Brady, because that is a losing formula. Will, predictions?
I'm going with Philadelphia.
Of course you are.
I'm going with Philadelphia.
I know Ray has Philly. And of course, I'm gonna pick the home team.
Okay.
Do it for the city, man. Y'all know I'm Mr. DMV. I'm doing it for the city.
Yep. 0-1.
Here you go, man. Don't knock the fix, man. My man Jeremy about the Eagles. Jeremy Gordon said we have zero weapons on our, and our defense isn't the same as it was in the first six games minus New Orleans. Jeffrey Walter said, can they cover Zach Ertz? So. Again, Zach Ertz is the problem.
Zach Ertz will be the problem.
He will be. Yeah, he is a problem. He's a serious problem. Real talk. I mean, we know this. That he's a serious problem. If the Wizards were to trade Otto Porter, which team would be a likely partner? We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wally. Ray Jeezy's out. Otto Porter is one of the Wizards' fall guys. That's how I feel like, you know, all fans like to blame Otto. Which team would be a likely trade partner with the Wizards for Otto Porter?
A likely?
Yeah.
You know, I think Indiana.
Indiana's one?
I think Indiana would be a perfect spot. I'm not saying likely. I'm not saying Indiana.
No,
would.
Well, I'm saying, yeah. I mean, just.
I think Indiana.
That
would
could
be,
work. That could actually
I think,
work.
I think Indiana would be a spot where Otto Porter could go and it would work out for him.
Mm-hmm.
You already have Victor Oladipo.
Nigeria. Oladipo,
George's County,
DeMatha. You know what I'm saying?
Grew up not that far from the studio.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
You have Sabonis, who's looking like one of the better low posts.
He a beast, dog. He a beast. Seriously. He a beast.
You have Miles Turner, who is flaming out.
Yeah.
Isn't living up to his potential.
Yeah. You think with Oladipo coming over there, that kind of made him think that he didn't have to work as hard? I don't know.
I don't know what it is with Miles Turner. Miles Turner has a unique skill set. He's able to block shot. He can shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
But at points, when he's on the floor,
he disappears,
looks lost.
Yeah, he disappears.
So, I think a perfect trade would be, why not take on Miles Turner, see what Washington gets Miles Turner. Indiana gets Otto Porter. I know you have to throw in some other pieces to make the salary match, but, you know, a Miles Turner for a trade package that's based around Otto Porter for Miles Turner, I think could be potentially beneficial for both teams.
All right, so this is what I thought of. This team lost a guy who can defend a little bit, can shoot threes. The Wizards just played him and beat him. Houston Rockets. Take the spot of Trevor Ariza, put Porter in that situation. You may give up. You know, they were willing to give up how many first round picks to get Jimmy Butler?
Or Jimmy.
Why ask for one? Just ask for one. If you're willing to give up how about ask for one first round pick, throw in a player for the contract, right? A couple players for the contract. And try to get Otto that way. I feel like, and then you for the Wizards, you get a first round pick, get a couple players. I mean, Otto's only averaging 12 points a game anyway, right? For this team, and now Otto is in a situation where all he has to do is fire up threes, playing with Chris Paul, where you know he's gonna find you, and James Harden. And then for Otto, it's a great situation, and Eric Gordon for Otto, it's a great situation.
It is.
You know what I mean? Especially with the high screen role with Capella, they sink in. Otto open in the corner. There's a lot that can happen.
No, that's a great trade. That's a good trade.
And I thought about this other one, and it's another one because I'm getting a vibe from people in Minnesota. People ain't feeling Wiggins. They're not feeling Wiggins, but I think Wiggins in DC would be cool.
I don't think there's any way they give up Wiggins.
Yeah, you see, I don't think so either. But they're not feeling him in Wiggins. I mean, they're not feeling Wiggins in Minnesota like that. But I mean, I don't think there's any chance. But I can see it. If you throw Wiggins and a couple,
the Wizards would have.
Oh no, so I'm saying the Wizards give up. A Wizards is giving up a couple players. That's what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. The Wizards give up a couple players. Throw in Otto. What about Kelly Oubre? And get Wiggins.
I still don't see it. I don't see that.
You wouldn't give Otto and Oubre for Wiggins? Would you do that if you were the Wizards? Would you take that?
I would take that on. Uh-huh. But I don't necessarily think that Minnesota. Glenn Taylor, the owner, is hell bent on the.
And I wouldn't either.
Being, Wiggins and Carl Anderson.
Look, I wouldn't give up on Wiggins. I wouldn't give up on Wiggins either. But you hear people say Wiggins is trash and this and that.
Wiggins isn't trash. I think he plays with a very lackadaisical attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Some would even say he lacks heart on the floor.
Yeah.
And lacks concentration at certain points with his immense talent.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say Wiggins is trash.
So what would you say about the New Orleans Pelicans? They've been interested. Rumor was they were interested in Otto Porter. What would they be able to give up?
Well, I know they're not going to give up Drew Holiday.
Not at all. They're
not giving up Anthony Davis.
Yeah, those two don't even have to be mentioned. And I don't think they're not giving up Julius Randle.
I don't think they're going to give up Julius Randle. And I don't think they're going to give up Mirotić.
Yeah. So what would you
The only thing you could dupe them into is a first-round pick and maybe Etan Moore.
Yeah, maybe Etan Moore. But
Etan
is that,
Moore in the first-round pick. But is that
really what you want? Is that what you really want?
No, I think if Otto went to somewhere like New Orleans, I think that would be a good fit for him.
It'd be good for Otto.
Yeah.
It's for the Wizards organization. That'd be good for Otto.
And then also, I would also have the problem with Ernie Grunfeld making any trade at this point.
Yeah, right, because he makes a trade, that means he'll be here the following season.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm all for giving Ernie early vacation now.
I think most Wizard fans are.
Look, he's been here for 16 years, mm-hmm. which is unheard of. Any GM, any team president being in one spot for 16 years outside of Pat Riley.
Yeah.
You know, Pat Riley's pretty almost untouchable down in Miami.
Yeah, he's a godfather, man.
Yeah, and Danny Ainge, I don't see him going anywhere for a while unless he wants to.
He's amazing. He's not going anywhere, dog.
But those 2 men that I speak of, they've led their organization to championships.
Mm-hmm.
At the bare minimum, they've led their organization to a conference final.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie Grunfeld, this team hasn't sniffed a conference finals during his 16-year reign as GM and president of this organization. I don't know why. And look, I hate to call for someone's job,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have anything personal against Ernie Grunfeld. But if you want to get this thing right, the best way for a new GM to hit the ground is to come in and evaluate things. If there's that much discourse,
yeah, with this team,
and,
right,
and fighting in the locker room,
well, yeah, as reported, right,
as being reported, we can't confirm it.
Yeah, I'm not confirming anything.
Yeah, the best way is for a GM to come in, see things with a fresh eyes. As you go through the season, you still have more than over 60 games left. Let them come in, I think, or about 60 games left.
What, they're 9, no, sorry, they're 8-12.
Yeah.
They're 8-12, so it's 20, so it's 62 games left.
Yeah, 62 games left. Best way is for a GM, fresh eyes, to come in and see things as it evolves over the last 62 games, and you see, you know, do we have a future with John Wall? Do we have a future with Bradley Beal? Do we have a future with Otto Porter? Is Scott Brooks the right guy?
Yeah.
Do we have the right infrastructure in place from a scouting perspective to get this team to a championship level? But, you know, I don't think those are things that happen.
Yeah, only time will tell. We'll make our NFL Week 13 picks after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports saying.
For ages.
You did.
Doses.
Whoa. Yeah. I done did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Up the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all, I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough, it's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate with my drink, this my day. Lucky you, hope you do. Woo! Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Move. Give me some room, give me some room. Give me the juice, how about the coupe? How about the coupe? How about the shoot? Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Give me the juice. Back on my bullets, my back to the wall. Turn my back on you, all of you finished. Back to these bullets, it's back to the job. Put my map out and all of you running. Back on my hood, it's back to the pushing. These tights and I'm actually pumping. Can't fuck with you rappers, you practically sucking. You might have went platinum, but that don't mean nothing. I'm actually buzzing, it's time. Straight out the kitchen, I told him the oven is mine. I do not fuck with you guys. If I don't kill you, just know you gon' suffer this time. I ain't no gangster, but I got some bangers, some chains and some blazing, a couple of nines. Choppers and jimmies, a partridge and petri. My 20s and Christmas was nothing but lies. Run at you hot like a sumo. They say I talk like a chulo. I live in Mars, I'm not Bruno. If you're my duck, call me Cujo. You play your cards, I'll reverse on you all, and I might just drop all like a uno.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wally, Ray Jesus out. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. Also, we do a weekly pick'em challenge with them. In week 12 from the Football Garbage Time crew, Scott went 12-3. Hakun Wong went 11-4. Ryan went 13-2. He talks major trash. And Joanne went 9-6. What's our record? Excuse me. Ray off with us. Ray went 10-5. Will T went 9-6. I went 8-7. Our homie George went 7-8. Here are our overall records. Excuse me. I'm thinking about something else. Ray is in first place. He's 1-3, 71-2. I'm in second place. 101-73, 73-2. And Will T is 174-2.
I mean, don't say it so low. I mean, your insurmountable lead has been a race.
It has been. You know what I mean? It's been a race, but at the same time, I'm still in second place, and you're still in last place. And that all can change. And you know what? And that all can change after this. You know, after this week, can change.
Yep.
Like Will T can be in first place. Will T could be in second place. Will T could be in last place. I can be in last place. Or first place or second place. Same for Ray. So it could all change. You know, I'm not gonna be as arrogant in terms of these pick'em challenges anymore.
You should.
I will say I can be arrogant in fantasy football because I'm a beast, bruh. I'm a beast. All the way to third place. Almost gave his dude 200 points last, you know what I'm saying? You know, on a week Sunday and on Monday. You know how we do things. You know. I know I'm that good. I know. Come on. Come on. High five, Will. Come on. Don't leave another dark-skinned dude hanging. Come on, bruh. Come
I
on.
Like our pick.
All right, hold on. Will T, let's go with the Saints Cowboys.
Going with Dallas.
Okay. I'm going with the Saints. Ravens Falcons.
What did Ray have?
Oh, I'm going to do Ray at the end. Okay. Because I can just read his off.
I'm going with the Falcons.
The Falcons, I'm going with the Falcons. Bengals, Broncos. I'm
going with the Broncos.
I'm going with the Bengals. Rams, I know, and Carson, I mean, Andy Dalton's out for the season.
Yep.
Rams versus the Lions.
Going with the Rams.
I think everyone's going with the Rams. I'm going to Rams. Packers versus the Cardinals.
Give me the Packers.
Give me the Packers. Bills, Dolphins.
Give me the Bills.
Give me the Dolphins. Bears, Giants.
Give me the Bears.
Give me the Bears. Panthers, Buccaneers at Tampa.
Panthers.
Give me the Panthers. Colts versus Jaguars.
Going with the Colts.
Going with Colts as well. Browns versus the Texans.
Going with the Texans.
Going to Texans. Jets versus the Titans.
Going with the Titans.
Going with the Titans as well. These are all easy. Chiefs versus the Raiders.
Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, give me the Chiefs. Yeah, bro. Come on now. Vikings versus the Patriots at New England.
I'm going with the Vikings for the upset.
Also, okay, bro. I'm going to New England. Kurt ain't winning, beating no Brady. It's not his DNA. Okay. Niners versus the Seahawks. You going to the Niners, yeah?
No.
I'm going with the Seahawks as well. Chargers versus the Steelers.
Give me the Chargers.
That's my upset. You want to take my upset? Give me the Chargers, man. Dang. Skins versus the Eagles. You went with the Eagles. I'm going with the Skins. Let me read off Ray's picks. Because Ray did text me. He texted us. Excuse me. Here you go. Here's Ray's picks. Ray picked the Saints. He picked the Falcons. He picked the Broncos. He picked the Rams. He picked the Packers. He picked the Dolphins. He picked the Bears. He picked the Panthers. He picked the Colts. He picked the Texans. He picked the Titans. He picked the Chiefs. He picked the Patriots. He picked the Seahawks. He picked the Chargers. Well, we all picked the Chargers. Okay.
Okay.
And he picked the Eagles. So, yeah. Well, he picked the Chargers. That's weird. I didn't think he picked the Chargers. I thought he would pick the Mike Tomlin-led
Steelers.
That's a team
that no one's really talking about.
The Chargers?
Yeah.
I have been. You know, that was my Super Bowl pick, right?
Oh, that was my Super Bowl ticket.
All right, it was the Chargers Skins Super Bowl.
I wasn't going that far. I had it as the Battle of L.A.
Oh, for real? That's a good one, too.
Chargers versus that's a good one. Rams.
Yeah. My man George was like, Wally, you geeking, you picking the Chargers. I was like, and the Skins, obviously, but he said the Chargers definitely, too. I was like, yo, Phillip Rivers, it's his time.
And they defense. They can run the ball. They have pass
defense,
rushers.
Their defense. Well, it hasn't even been healthy. Did Bosa come back last?
Yeah, Bosa's coming back.
Did he come back last week, though, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, once they get Bosa back, I think they'll be a better team. I like Derwin James. I like, you know, what they did in the draft. Derwin James out of Florida State. Bosa. Ingram.
Yep.
It, you know, and I forget the cornerback, too, who's probably one of the better cornerbacks in the league. I forgot his name. Yeah, but so they're a strong team.
And they can run the ball.
And they can run the ball.
Two very capable running backs.
And Eckler and Gordon.
And Gordon.
And then the receivers. You got Keenan Allen. And then you
Michael
got
Williams,
Michael Williams.
Tyrell Williams, who can
run. Who's fastest. And then you still got, I mean, you know, you lost your tight end. You brought back Antonio Gates, who's still a decent tight end.
Yep.
So, yeah, definitely. Chargers are one of the teams to beat. I mean, the Chiefs don't have it easy. Don't get it twisted. Like, they still have to play the Chargers, but they're still a dominant team anyway. But we'll talk about Saturday's major heavyweight title matchup after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I was wondering.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wally. We're your hosts. Ray is out. Will T, you mentioned something, you know, during the break.
Hugh Jackson, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I didn't like his comments. I just felt like, what you expect? I mean, Marvin is his boy. Marvin is like his best friend in the business. It seems like it. And Marvin Lewis, I'm speaking of the Bengals head coach. And he offered them a job, basically being the associate head coach, in essence, to be honest with you. And maybe looks like he could be a head coach if Marvin steps down, because the family that owns
the Brown family,
excuse me. They own, you know, I mean, they like you, you know, and I don't see anything wrong with him taking the job. I don't see anything wrong with it, period. But I know Baker was like, you're going to the rival or whatnot. But your rivals are the Baltimore Ravens anyway, but still.
this is where I think.
But still, right? The Ravens.
This is where Baker Mayfield as an athlete, to me, seemed a little detached from reality, right? Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackson didn't choose to leave the Browns.
They fired
him. Hugh Jackson was fired, right?
Yeah. In a jacked up situation, too, to be honest with you.
And I don't even know for sure if Hugh Jackson wanted Todd Haley as on his
coaching staff. He didn't.
Todd Haley was brought on, and ultimately, you know, the ownership decided to make a change, told Hugh Jackson to go kick rocks, told Todd Haley to go kick rocks. Hugh Jackson was presented with an opportunity to coach in the NFL, which is one of the. Let people say it, one of the most elusive jobs, one of the, you know, there's only 32 head coaching jobs.
So Hugh Jackson?
Yeah. He was given opportunities.
He's a minority too. Makes it even harder.
Yeah, it makes it even harder. Look at Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell got fired after a 9-7 season. Yeah. Jim Caldwell is still sitting on the sideline not coaching. So Hugh Jackson had an opportunity to go to Cincinnati, which happened to be in, you know, in the same division. As the Browns, why the hell wouldn't he take that opportunity for Baker Mayfield to go on and say that's, you know, it's jacked up, or and to not acknowledge him when he was trying to embrace him after the game?
It's some whole ass sugar honey iced tea. Yeah, for real.
And it just goes to show that Baker Mayfield is detached from reality, man.
This is my thing before you get into boxing. What do you expect anyway? It's a place that you had success in. Like Hugh Jackson, you had success in Cincinnati. You groomed Andy Dalton had his best season with you. Like, you're working with Marvin Lewis, a guy you have a great rapport with. If they offered you a job where nobody wanted to hire you, let's be honest, with nobody was going to hire him.
No one's going to hire
Hugh Jackson
as a head coach. Yeah.
So go to a situation where you like being at.
Yeah, you can rehab your image.
Exactly.
A place where you've had success
and you have an opportunity.
It's a friendly place. Go. You should.
Yeah.
You should embrace. You should say. If anything, you should have said, I wish Hugh Jackson the best. I'm wrong for telling a man what he should say.
It's a better look. Not to say that he has to say it, but it's a better look for him.
Yeah. And then, I try to draw parallels, even though this hasn't happened. But I think if Cam Newton had did the same thing,
they would hate him.
Cam Newton would be eviscerated today in the press.
They hate him. He would be immature.
He would be all the things that they said about him in the past. He's a sore loser. Or even though, you know, Baker Mayfield won, but all the things that have come out about Cam Newton's character.
What he won? What?
Huh?
He won what? A game?
No. Yeah. He won a game. Yeah. Cam Newton would be eviscerated right now in the press. You hear Baker Mayfield make those comments. Oh, I like him. Rex Ryan said on ESPN, oh, I like him even more. That shows a sign of a leadership.
Oh, Rex Ryan said that?
Yeah, that shows signs of a leadership. Well, Rex
is a different cat, though. I think he would say that about Cam, too, though. Rex would say that about Cam? Rex is not a normal dude.
I just think it just goes to show.
I know what you're saying, though. You're right, though.
How Cam Newton's perceived differently versus a guy like Baker Mayfield.
If Jameis said that, it'd be a problem.
Yeah, I think if Jameis Winston said it, it'd be a problem.
So
guys who've had some character issues, had some malgressions, transgressions, off the field, who people don't really like their personality and don't like their style of play per se.
Yeah. They're ready to bash.
They're ready to bash. They'd be eviscerated in the press today, but it's kind of, Baker Mayfield says it, it's kind of pat on the back. That's our leader. That's the guy we want. Get the F out of here, man.
Yeah. I mean, he's a different dude compared to what other quarterbacks are accustomed. He's a different dude. Put that, Baker's a different dude. And without getting all super into color, but he's a different dude. And, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is with Baker. I mean, I like Baker Mayfield, so I don't act like I don't like. I like Baker Mayfield.
Don't get it twisted. I
think he's a baller. I like Baker Mayfield.
He's a baller.
I'm with you though.
I'm putting that out there. But I'm putting a claim in for him in my money league.
But I'm with you though. You're right.
Just
if that was
the
Cam,
coverage of it would be totally different.
Yeah, it'd be totally different. Because I don't think. I think what he did when he did after the game with Marvin was BS. I mean, sorry, with Hugh Jackson was BS.
It was some punk. Sugar honey iced tea.
So anyway, Saturday, December 1st, WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on Tyson Fury.
The lineal champion.
Dale, thank you for the correction. The lineal champion. What are the contrasts in styles in this fight?
Deontay Wilder is a little bit more flat-footed opposed to Tyson Fury. Yeah, even though Tyson Fury is 6'9", Tyson Fury, I'm not going to say he's light on his feet, but he's very mobile in the ring. Tyson Fury is a guy who likes to use his jab a lot to set up his power shots. Although he's 6'9", has very good bend at the waist and rotation in the shoulders when fighting in close quarters. Deontay Wilder is a guy who we've seen who's had his chin tested against Luis King Kong Ortiz, and he survived it, right?
Yeah, he did survive.
Luis Ortiz is a pretty heavy hitter, and he survived it.
He did take him. He didn't take him off the ropes though.
Yeah, he
did. He could have got him for real.
He could have got him, but he survived. So I think this is going. I think this is going to be a fight where you're going to see Deontay Wilder loading up on the punches, especially that overhand right, throwing those overhand rights, trying to get
Fury out of there.
Tyson Fury out of there. I think the first two or three rounds, you're going to see a lot of overhand rights from Deontay Wilder trying to end the fight.
Will that tire him out?
I think it will during the middle rounds.
Okay.
My concern that I have for Deontay Wilder is if he comes in loading up, throwing those overhand rights as he's done throughout his career, how will his stamina play out over the latter half of the fight against a guy like Tyson Fury, who likes to be selective with his shots and set up his shots and, you know, has really good lateral movement. Has good lateral movement for a guy 6'9" in the ring.
Yeah, I called Wilder winning this fight in the sixth round. I said sixth round initially. I still think that. I think Wilder will catch him. I am concerned though if he does go out trying to knock Fury out in the early part of the fight. Will he get tired towards the middle? And I think that's when Fury can kind of get him a little bit. Not knock him out, because I don't think Fury's going to knock him out. I don't think Fury has the ability to knock him out, to be honest with you. But I do think that from what you just told me, that concerns me if he does try to go all balls to the wall within the first two rounds. You know what I mean? Because if he does that, I don't know if he has the energy and the stamina to make it, you know, to make it to the end. Winning the kind of fight that Fury's going to bring to the table. Because I think Fury's is all about winning rounds.
Yeah, I mean, Tyson Fury's going to try to win the rounds.
Yeah.
Where Deontay Wilder... Fury's going to put together combinations to win the round. Whereas Deontay Wilder is going to try to put together one big shot and win the round and make things stick out.
So...
Not make things stick out, but make those punches. So
who do you have winning the fight and why?
Oh, that's easy. I got Deontay Wilder.
Okay, and why? And why? Just because you think his style...
I think Tyson Fury's coming off a pretty long layoff,
okay.
A lot of ring rust. Deontay Wilder will be in better physical condition,
uh-huh.
and he will have the experience of those rounds that Tyson Fury hasn't had over the past 2 to 3 years.
On Twitter, my man Barry Carlson said Wilder has Wilder winning the fight. Yeah, I mean, like I told you, I still think Wilder's winning the fight in six. So it sets up my fight, hopefully. If he wins, who does Wilder have next? I'm hoping it's Anthony Joshua, but I'm sure you have somebody different.
If he wins this fight, I think it's Anthony Joshua next. If he wins this fight, I think we see him versus Anthony Joshua in London, Wembley Field.
Wembley Stadium,
excuse me.
You're good. You're
Wembley
cool,
Stadium. In a major heavyweight fight that should do numbers across the sea and in America. One thing that that's
pay-per-view.
Well, no, I don't think it would be pay-per-view.
You don't
it
think
might, it might be pay-per-view.
If this fight is pay-per-view, this better be pay-per-view.
No, I think that might be dancing because streaming.
Oh, that's so right, the streaming thing. Yeah,
dancing or what? Yeah, DAZN, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That may be DAZN. Depending on how the splits and how the, I don't know the economics of the fight. One thing that I'm kind of, I'm not going to say disappointed, but I'm not going to say concern me. Something that I've noticed is this is a major heavyweight fight that's coming up on Saturday. There's been
no promotion whatsoever.
No promotion at all.
This is why I was so concerned why this was pay-per-view, because I just didn't see the...
I mean, I'm going to buy it.
That's what's up, dog.
You put that out there quick. Let me ask you this. Will you at least watch the fight?
I'm going to try to watch the fight.
You have no intention of coming out of your pocket.
There's different levels of paying for stuff,
right,
in terms of pay-per-view fights. So if it's like, I'm never going to pay for a pay-per-view fight because I'm a freeload off my friends. Uh-huh. But I always felt like if there's a fight, that I always put fights on. Dang, I would pay for that fight. Like, I would definitely pay for that fight. If there was no way for me to watch the fight, I would definitely pay for the fight. This isn't one of them. You know what I mean? Like, Pacquiao versus Adrian Broner isn't one of them. That's not one of them. Mikey Garcia versus Errol Spence is one of them. That is the fight that I would be like,
if I had to pay,
that would be the fight.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But I just want Deontay to win so bad. Like I mentioned it before in a prior show. Like, Don, this fight is pay-per-view to me is because of the buildup of what could happen next. You know what I mean? Like, Anthony
Joshua. You
actually brought
a great point. No, about paying for the fight. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not going to buy the fight, but I'm starting to think about it.
Like,
these providers, they try to hit your head when it's HD for like $100.
Yeah, for real. Like, seriously. No.
And I'm honestly thinking to myself, who or what fights are on the undercard?
Yeah. Like, what's the undercard fight? Like, what really?
I recently changed cable providers.
Did you? So you found, you did it?
And I'm thinking.
I'm saying, bro. Is it really worth it? Is this fight really worth it? Is this fight really worth it? Like, Floyd Pacquiao won, right? It's because you've never seen it before. Like, so that was kind of worth it off the thought process of the fight.
Well,
but I
mean, didn't pay for that fight. Real
talk. We did. We was all together. Yeah. So you already know. You already know. If you're not going to pay for that fight, you're not paying for this fight. We went with me. We enjoyed ourselves, right?
We did.
Exactly. Free, ninja. Free.
I don't know. I mean, I may have to reconsider my thought pattern around this. Because thought about it, man.
I'm saying, like, bro. Why? We have
it's going to be $100 and I'm not trying to discourage anyone who's listening.
Yeah.
Support
American heavyweight.
Yeah, support. For real. It's been a long time since we've had a good American heavyweight champion.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I may buy the fight. I may not.
Yeah. I'm just telling you straight forward. I'm not.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm not. But again, I'm rooting for Deontay because this fight is a build up to what needs to happen. And again, Deontay, Anthony Joshua, I would pay for that fight. Okay. Like, I would pay for that fight.
Okay.
Ten times, like, That's a pay-per-view fight to me. That is worth, like, if I was going to pay for a fight, I would definitely pay for the fight. But since I know that the fight parts will be jumping, who has to pay, bro? On that note, we want to leave this show. You've been listening to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie.